Thank you. It's always nice to be back here. And a couple of things first. First, I want to apologize for canceling the last time I was supposed to speak. I had a family emergency. A close family member, a friend of mine, love him, Doug, was hit by a truck while on his motorcycle. And what I want to say, he's recovering well and has his final surgery on Tuesday. And he will eventually go back to work and stuff. But what I want to say is, this is still motorcycle season. Please, yep. Please be aware. This person ran a stop sign and hit him in the intersection. And so just be aware. And it's not the motorcycles. It's the drivers that aren't looking. Yep. Don't tailgate. Look ahead of you. Give them enough space. You know, don't change lanes without looking, please. And I gave up riding 2 years ago, but I can still vividly remember the fear of watching someone change lanes without looking or signaling. So I just want to say that. I also want to say, on a happier note, is the Center for Spiritual Living Asheville is holding a fire walk on September 8th, which is this Friday. And it's a $25 love offering, but and more if you can, less if you can't. But it's I'm doing it. My business is doing the fire walk as a fundraiser for the center. But Reverend Dr. John Waterhouse is going to be the program facilitator, and it's going to be his last event at the center. And he's already retired. But if you're thinking of a fire walk, Rev John is the one to do it with, and then me, of course. But his fire walks are truly, truly amazing, and my crew will be tending the fire.
What time?
And it starts at 6 p.m. Yeah, and if you choose to go, you have to be there for that program, and because that's when everyone gets registered and signs a waiver. But, well, you sign a waiver. So I don't like to say what the waiver's for, because then people go, "Why am I walking on hot coals?" So this talk is about pebbles of sand, and for some reason my tablet is not orienting. There it goes. So how many of you have pet peeves? Yeah, we all do. I have many pet peeves, actually. And some have to do with me, obviously. And then, of course, I have some for other people. But one of mine is that I come up with this general idea, this really good idea, just as I'm going to sleep, and I think I'll remember it in the morning. Or, you know, like when I get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and I think, just go to the kitchen and write it down or something. And I don't. And then I don't remember it the next morning, which is partially what happened with this talk. And I think I should, but now it was a really good nugget. It was going to be a really spiritual, strong truth, and it's gone. But I do have others. I have a lot of them. One of them is being on time. People, my niece is consistently late. And so that bugs me. Dirty car windows in a friend's car bugs me.
Bugs me.
And dirty dishes in the sink. I'm someone who will wash a fork after I feed my cat and put it away. And other people I know quite aren't so that way. But another one, and probably because I'm a professor, is misspelled words. I'm like, just use the spell check, especially with texting. The you know, what students send in my emails to me is just, I have to take a moment before I respond sometimes, honestly. But the problem with pet peeves is that, and why they bother us so much, is really because it's all about us. It's about situations that we're involved in, and on some level that we have no control over. I can't control my friend's car, dirty windows. And so they're in the control of the person exhibiting the behavior, and which is why we end up in those minor senseless arguments that just make no sense at all, that just, you just get angry for no reason. You know, put the dishes away, take them out of the dishwasher, or just rinse them. And would you just wash your car windows? Or would you please, student, blow your nose before handing in your paper? Pet peeves don't make the other person wrong. And the problem is really just within each of us. And this is what brings me to having a pebble in my shoe. So a pebble in my shoe drives me absolutely crazy when I'm hiking or I'm walking around, but I don't stop and take it out. No, no, no. Instead, I tap my foot and I try to move that little pebble away from one area that it's irritating, and I just keep on going. And it moves under my heel or it goes somewhere else. And it just moves to a different location, and eventually it'll start to bother me there as well. But the truth is that when I'm hiking, I don't stop until it basically becomes intolerable. And I was talking about this on a hike with a friend of mine, and they said that they thought it was some kind of misguided sense of pride and self-accomplishment.
Huh.
Mm. And I thought, yeah, she could be right. I don't want to appear weak. I don't want to appear out of control. I don't want to slow my hiking partners down. It's not the fault of the pebble. It's all with this thought process within me. Somehow it makes me not as good as my friends when we're out hiking or doing something else. But it's not like I get irritated when they stop and take a pebble out of their shoe. And sometimes that's just it. Sometimes what bothering us is just so little. It's just this little grain of something that just keeps nugging away at your back of your head. I really believe that those little grains of sand are based on our past memories. The more I've thought about this, the more I've thought that these things that affect us that are so minor are based on, they activate our memories. And a few months ago, as I was driving to Franklin for a talk, I drove by a billboard, and I immediately flashed back to memories that billboard brought up for me. Unfortunately, it happened to be one of a political nature. So by the time I got to the chapel in Dillard down the road, I was like angry. And this thing had happened a couple of years back. And I was like, in my head. And I was immediately angry and defiant. And the other day I was at the dentist's office and I heard Fleetwood Mac, Little Muzak playing. And it was a song from when before I got sober. And I've been sober almost 45 years. And I started thinking immediately about that time period when that song first came out, who I was with, getting high, wondering whatever happened to all those people. And if I am here, and Reverend Dr. Catherine Grayson, where are they? What has happened to them? What have their lives manifested into being? And I remember as a kid, too, as well, because it's Labor Day, I started thinking about the Jerry Lewis telethon. Mm-hmm. How many of you remember Jerry?
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, I was just fascinated with that show. And we stayed up and we watched it. And I remember the day, and I bet some of you do too, when Ed McMahon took out a stepladder and a paintbrush and a can of paint, and he went up to the tally board and he painted the first one for $1 million. Do you remember that day? I do. It's like it's stuck in my mind. And millions of viewers and a cheering crowd, and it was just amazing. I also remember that as I grew older and more cynical, I remember being irritated with the telethon for no apparent reason. But something about it just didn't click with me anymore. And that's what happens. Something about our memories just don't click into place like they used to. Our memories are not just a merely a collection of events that's happened to us in the past. They're an integral part of who we are as individuals. We know this. Memories shape our thoughts, our emotions, and our actions, and they influence the way that we perceive ourselves and the world around us. And our memories have the power to either lift us up, like we were saying earlier today with your blessings, or bring us down. And positive memories can inspire us, they motivate us, and they give us a sense of purpose and meaning. And our negative memories can hold us back, they bring us down, and they make us feel hopeless or useless, like inefficient, like if you have a pebble in your shoe. It's essential to remember that memories are not static, and that they can change over time, much like mine with the Jerry Lewis telethon. But we have the power to shape our memories by choosing which ones we focus on and which ones we can let go of. And we can choose to hold on to the positive moments and release some of the negative ones and be inspired. But we need those negative memories as well. We need those not so positive memories as well to continue to motivate us as we go forward. We can't just erase them. In our spiritual journey, our memory plays a very, very significant role. And someone said they were doing shadow work. And our memories help us connect with our spiritual essence and to remember our divine nature. We can use our memories as a tool to remind us of the love and the peace and the joy that reside within us, even when the memories don't bring those things forward immediately. By focusing on our memories and cultivating gratitude, we can develop a more profound sense of spiritual connection and a greater feeling of inner peace. So the question is, how did I get from a pebble of sand, a little grain of sand in my shoe, to talking about issues of memory and trust? I haven't said trust yet, have I? Oh, that's coming up. So I belong to an organization where it often seems to me that people interact on a superficial level. And I'm not a really good surface level type person. I try to let go and relax, but the truth is I'm always questioning myself in those situations. And I want people to be real with me. I want to know that they have similar thoughts and similar feelings and not just, oh, everything is wonderful feelings. Sometimes I just want agreement that in truth, everything is simply not okay. I just want someone to acknowledge me. And I don't think I'm the only one. But we have a hard time sometimes finding that in some of the organizations we belong to. And this is called spiritual bypassing. I think I may have mentioned it before. But this superficial bypassing in culture, almost everywhere now, drives me absolutely insane. It's a whole pet peeve. All is not well when you have a pebble in your shoe. You cannot pray that pebble away. You have to take the shoe off, turn it upside down, shake it a little bit sometimes so that that pebble or those little grains of sand float out of the shoe. You have to verify sometimes that something is bothering with you before you can deal with it. This is what life is like for me. I'm a pet peeve for my friends. I'm always taking my shoe off to see what's going on inside. Why do I feel this way or that way? Did I do something wrong? Do people like me? It goes on and on and on. And sometimes my self-confidence and my self-valuation is low. It is true for everyone. But it's important to me that my friends tell me what they're thinking because I have been gaslit so many times. I have not been told the truth so many times. I just want the truth. I can deal with the truth. I can deal with your opinion. I may not take it, but I want it.
Yep.
Right? And so I read an article the other day by Jim Lockhart in his blog, The Spiritual Evolutionary. And the one I was reading is called Change or Transformation. And in it, he talks about the concepts of translation and transformation in spiritual communities. He stated that we in New Thought have an advantage because our teachers encourage us to remember, to know who we really are, beings with the spark of divinity, with access to infinite store of potential. Lockhart went on to discuss a philosopher, Ken Wilber. Some of you may know, have read his books. Ken Wilber has ideas of the two functions of religion. The first is called translation, and the second is called transformation. Translation is like learning a new language. You learn to look at your life and its meaning in new ways, gaining new perspective according to whatever spiritual tradition is being presented. Most of the energy in traditional religions and spirituality is based in the realm of translation. This, talking to you or with you, is considered translation. It's an important and necessary level for spiritual realization, but transformation is radical change. And in terms of spirituality, having cultivated this profound inner life through translation, where we recognize what we're reading and what's being spoken and the songs that we hear, then that leads to significant changes in our outer life. However, one of the paradoxes of spiritual growth is that we need a very affirmative mindset for translation to occur. Positive thinking to the max, as it were, which is where that spiritual bypassing comes in, because if we are constantly focused on that positive, 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 positive energy without ever looking at these memories that keep coming to the surface, we end up in this block, this paradox, where we cannot fully move from translation to transformation into what we would call transcendence. And so we need to begin with a radical change to express in a meaningful way some of the dissatisfaction that does actually happen in our lives and in our culture. We have to look at what's actually going on. Our evolutionary natures are expressing as designed. We are called forth always to a new, different, and more profound experience if we allow it to transcend. If we don't, then nothing really changes, and we're at a level of positivity without in-depth connection. So it's not enough just to understand the translation and transformation. We need to also begin to look at our own transcendence, not in the path of how we usually speak of it. They've transcended and moved to a new plane. But exactly, what does that word mean? So the word transcend also just simply means to surpass. It means to be able to do more than what one thought one could do, or more than one had done in the past. To simply be able to run faster than you used to, walk further than you did 2 weeks ago, to be a better dancer or pianist or carpenter or painter, to be a better speaker. That is what we mean when we say to spiritually transcend on this plane, to move past translation and transformation and actually bring yourself out into the world to facilitate change. To be a better person and to use your memories and skills and to make the world a better place, and not just simply accept the positive affirmations that can be said. Not that they're bad, because they're not. I say them all the time. I am happy, I am healthy, I am wise, I am strong, I am rich, I am free. Those things are so important. We need to have positive affirmations, but we also still need to consider looking at where we are and what we do. I encourage you, take your shoe off and just shake it up a little bit, because you would be surprised at what falls out, at what's holding you back. We have work that we have been put here to do. Translation is not easy sometimes. Understanding some of these texts is difficult. Transformation can be an ordeal, to be sure. And transcendence may be the hardest thing that you ever do, is to take your faith out into the world and act on it. But we don't have to do it alone. We can do it with each other. We can do it within our spiritual communities. We do it all the time. We translate our experience when we are self-reflective. We are then make new decisions so that we can transform who we are and how we present. And when we present as true spiritual beings, walking our talk, we transcend within our communities and become agents of change. So when that memory or a pebble of sand slows you down, pet peeves, monies, your friends, car windows, your family, take it out and examine it. Recognize really where that irritation is coming from. Acknowledge it before continuing on your way. Memories are a powerful force that shape our lives. They shape our lives in many ways. By being mindful of our memories, in choosing to focus and tell the truth and not simply bypass, we can transform our lives and transcend to create a more joyful and fulfilling existence. Let us use our memories to connect with our spiritual essence and to remember the love and the light that we all carry within us. Thank you.